Grace and peace to you. Friends, hello. It's good to have you with us today. I'm going to start today by sharing two of my favourite, slightly odd, but 100% true facts. The first is that a sloth is the only animal considered to have four arms and no legs. If you don't believe me, look that one up. That's no bearing on anything at all, I just wanted to share it. The second fact, however, does relate in some way to today's reading. And that is, if you properly shuffle a deck of cards, you are more likely than not, in fact almost certainly, you've put the cards into an order that never existed before. The number of different ways of shuffling a deck of cards is roughly 80, followed by 66 zeros. That's a colossal number, and it really boggles the mind to think about it too much. And in all of those many, many options, the probability of the top card being a king is roughly 1 in 13. And if you're sitting with a deck of cards and want a king, and you're sitting there thinking, give me a king, then your odds aren't great, but they're not terrible. If you want a particular king, say the king of hearts, your odds extend a bit. They go out to 1 in 52 times. As you look at the dealer's hand, as you wait for them to turn over the top card on this totally not gambling and just for fun card game, you're thinking to yourself, give me a king. In our reading today, the people of Israel are thinking and saying and shouting, give us a king. And they don't just want any king. They want a good one. They want a king that can do it all, or rather, do all that's important in their eyes. They want a king who's strong in military terms. A king who has raw political power and is willing to do anything to keep it. They want a king who has the ability to control and manipulate and prevent others from undue influence. They want a king who they believe will make them feel safe through exploiting and harming others. So let's hear them ask for a king now.
So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you that they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them out of Egypt up until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know that what king who reigns over them will claim as his rights." Samuel told the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will be assigned to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plough his ground and to reap his harvest, and still others to make their weapon of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and your vineyards and olive groves and give them to his officials and attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your male and female servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, but the Lord will not answer you in that day. But the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we want a king over us. Then we will be like all other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles.
Thank you, Katie. The people want a king. They want a good king. A king who will look after them. But Samuel, a prophet of God, tells them that their request will result in pain and hardship. That in asking for this, they're asking for their vineyards to be lost to the court and their sons to be sent into battle. Samuel tells them what they're asking for may feel like a request to change who's in control. But ultimately, it's a selfish act that will backfire. As we hear early in the reading, that through prayer and conversation with God, the prophet Samuel, he recognizes that the people are not simply rejecting him as a leader, but they're ultimately rejecting God. They want nothing to do with the prophet, and they want a worldly king, and not someone who rules within the lines of the kingdom of God. We must remember that prophets aren't magic fortune tellers. They're people who warn against following a particular course of action. A prophet calls people back to God, calls them away from serving their self and chasing the ideals of a world that will ultimately harm themselves as well as harming others. Samuel is warning them that the saviour king they want is not the Messiah that will be best for them. Samuel is imploring them to choose a king who feeds the hungry, and not a king who throws banquets for his friends. Samuel is imploring them to choose a king who builds peace and a beneficial mutuality with friends and with strangers. Not a king who makes war and insists on mutually assured destruction. We know, looking forward, that from this desire for a king, eventually the shepherd boy David is chosen. And David was a man of God, and David was hugely flawed. He fed the hungry, yet he caused people to starve. David saved people's lives, but David was also a murderer. But then, as we look further forward, into the Gospels, where we see the kingly line complete, where, as Christians, we believe the ultimate kingship resides, that of course being in the life, teachings, execution and resurrection of Christ, our King, the King we know we should worship and whose example we should follow. As followers of Jesus, we are not about earthly kingdoms. We should not be focused on emulating those who wield power with strength, but those who look to bring divine love into the world. And let the kingdom of God be built in this place. Christ the King does not seek to subjugate you, but to build you up so you can build others up and therefore allow yourselves and everyone else and all creation to live a full life in all its fullness together. The people shout, "Give us a king." And the odds are that an earthly king will be terrible. The people shout, "Give us a king." So show them the divine love of Christ the King.